Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. Thanks for listening. This is Mackenzie, your host, and Jennifer Navarrete on this episode. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be part of the fun.
Yes, thank you. We've talked about the National Podcast Post Month briefly before a couple of years ago, so I'm happy to have you on so that we can get a deep dive into this. But first, we have some news, and then we'll have some news at the end and a Power Press tip segment from Sean Thorpe. So I'm ready to get started. What about you?
Let's do it.
Okay, great. The first bit of news that I wanted to talk about is a festival. And today is technically the first day of the festival. So by the time that this episode comes out, it will be over. But I still think it is worthy of talking about because we are two women podcasters, and this is a podcast festival specifically for women. So I'm going to give it some airtime.
Which I think is absolutely fabulous.
I love it. I love it. So it's called Work It, and it's in Los Angeles, California from October 3rd to 5th. And it's just for women, obviously. It has workshops, demonstrations, mentoring sessions, and what they are specifically calling not safe for work conversations about working in audio and digital media. And I'm really going to miss out on those conversations.
I'm hoping that they're recording that and that we can kind of get it later on, because I think that session right there is probably worth its weight in gold.
Oh, I know.
Because there is a whole other world when it comes to being a woman in the podcasting space than what the gentlemen experience.
I know. I completely agree. We're going to get some of it for sure in anything that is recorded. However, we all know that those conversations continue in the networking that happens off site for a conference like that. That happened at the bar, that type of thing. You know that.
Yeah, those hallway conversations.
Mm-hmm, definitely. They also have this thing called a podcast boot camp, which sounds really cool to me. It's a one-day course that is taught by some of the top women in the podcasting industry. And they're bringing in people from a lot of popular networks. They're bringing in people from NPR and Gimlet Media, and I'm sure some people that have worked in radio as well. So they're going to have the full spectrum of producing content, storytelling, networking, all of that. So really working to help people with producing, because I know that seems to be an issue with getting started for podcasting. So I think that'll be helpful.
You know, there is a big gamut, though. I think a lot of times folks who are considering podcasting, they look at some of those big podcasters who are, you know, they got it down by now, and they're intimidated by that whole startup concept. And I think the idea of a boot camp is really helpful. And there's things that I've done in my time of podcasting to kind of help foster some of that. And you have to kind of get out there and try stuff. And maybe you don't want to throw everything out there to the world, but maybe just start something personal just to get your chops, your podcasting chops.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can do it. And so a conference like this is very inspirational and motivational. But then what happens when you go home?
You have to figure out how to keep that motivation going. It's very hard.
You can always, you know, hook up with your online community and get it going. Like, don't feel like you can't do it because you're not NPR and you're not that big hotshot podcaster. I promise you, that big hotshot podcaster had the episode one where it really wasn't all that great. But now they're rocking it, and you will too.
That's really good to remember, is that not everything has to be amazing right out of the gate. Just because when people listen to the shows that come from these big networks, and they feel like they are, it's because they have that entire team that has worked in audio for a very long time and journalism for a very long time. And, you know, they come with that different experience than a lot of people, than a lot of the normal podcasters do. So
They're probably not doing that 3 a.m. editing session that the rest of us are and still going to work the next day.
No, definitely not. Like, when they are up at 3 a.m. editing, it's for their job. not their side thing. I will tell you that the All Access Pass, which included the podcast boot camp, the festival part, and tickets to all of the live tapings on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th was $550. So, you know, depending on what you think you're going to be able to get out of this, that's pretty good price for a fest.
It actually is. I mean, you know, it used to be you had things like camps, which, you know, we put together years ago, and I know they still happen, and those were all free events, but it's well worth it. If you're wanting to go into something, invest in it to learn, and also invest in it to network, because the network really will help you learn faster.
Oh, yes, definitely. it looks like, I mean, they have keynotes throughout the day. They have all these different types of sessions. As we are recording right now, it looks like they're about to do the My Podcast Gives Me Joy and health insurance. So from Anna Sale, the host of Death, Sex, and Money. So they've got some quality people there. And I hope that some of you are listening were able to attend. I was speaking to someone I know that is. So I'm going to get the update from her about how her experience was. And hopefully one of these years I'll be able to go. So
yeah. Well, if nothing else, follow the hashtag on Twitter. That's always kind of that backdoor communication. And it's also a peek into what's happening there because people are happy to tweet those golden nuggets that they glean.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Once again, the name of the festival is Work It. That is W-E-R-K and then I-T. So Work It Festival. And check it out. See if you can get any of the info that they shared. We've been talking about this women's festival, and now I am very excited to talk to you about another, I don't want to call it a fest, but it is a celebration of podcasting that you have been working on for a very long time. So please share what you work on with the audience.
Sure. Back in 2007, I heard about this thing called NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writers Month, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then people were talking about the blogging version of that, which is NaBlowPomo, you know, a blog every day for the month, in the month of November. And then I even heard some of my video friends that were doing NaVlowPomo for National Blog Post Month, a video every day, and I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, I think I'm going to join the podcasting version of that.
Yeah.
And I searched high and I searched low and I was shocked to discover it did not exist.
Unfortunate.
So this was like late October. I'm a fly by the seat of your pants kind of a gal, and which is pretty much how I've run my whole life. And that has pros and cons in many different areas. But in this case, it was a pro because it was like 3 days before November 1st. And I thought, well, okay, I think I'm just going to create one.
So, it doesn't exist. You can do it.
I can do it. So I created NaPodPomo, National Podcast Post Month, and threw it out there on social and said, hey, anybody want to do this with me? And at the time, we did it inside of a free Ning group because, you know, it was easy to just set up. And by the time the end of November had kicked off, by the time November 30th came around, we had had 50 podcasters join us on this. You know, some of them joined late because they heard about it late. And granted, there wasn't a lot of time for anybody to hear about it. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a real challenge to try and do audio every single day. But at the same time, it was also a lot of fun because it allowed me to kind of experiment. At the time, I had one podcast, and it was the original podcast I started in 2005 with my sister called The Morning Brewcast. It was the two of us drinking coffee, talking about coffee, and, you know, we laughed and just had a good time. That whole thing about I podcast for joy, that was definitely what we were doing. We were podcasting for joy. I was doing that with a co-host, and there were some things I wanted to kind of learn how to do by myself, you know, as a solo podcaster. And NaPodPomo was a great opportunity for me to kind of, you know, learn a little bit more and get a sense of what it would take. And that's kind of how I've used NaPodPomo year after year, is as an experimentation of different either platforms or different tools or different show ideas. And sometimes it works, and and it's fabulous. Like 1 year I did, you know, a show with a co-host live, because I wanted to get comfortable with live. Everything else up until that point had been recorded, and, you know, the 3 a.m. editing sessions with post-production. And there was a year that I was like, man, if I could just get comfortable with live, it would just make my life so much easier. And so I went out there and asked my group, my San Antonio podcasting group, hey, does anybody want to do this experiment with a live show for NaPodPomo? And I had one of my members say, I've never podcasted before, but I'm interested to learn. And if you'll help me, you know, do it with me or okay with that. I said, sure. You know, this is for fun.
Yeah.
He said, okay, I'll do it. And so that was Lewis Sandoval Jr. And we wound up starting a show called Tech in 20. So for the month of November, we did 20 minutes talking about tech and news and our geekiness. And when it was over, we said, wow, that was so much fun. Mm-hmm. Let's keep doing that, but not doing that every single day. Like, let's pare it down. And so we didn't want to do every day because that's, you know, didn't make sense. Right. But we didn't want to do it once a week. So we came up with the idea of doing it twice a week. On Tuesdays, we would have a technology topic or news. And then on Thursdays, we would have a guest who was an expert or knowledgeable or in that space.
Yeah.
And it really worked out well. We did that for like 5 years. And then we pod faded, but it was a lot of fun. And we interviewed lots of, you know, amazing people. But that was just from NAPPodPomer because I wanted to try something live. And so I've always thought of it as being a great place to fail fast and learn quickly and get better.
That's a really good way of thinking about this. What did you say? Fail fast and learn quickly?
Right, right. Because, you know, the thing about podcasts, we all know as podcasters, is that as much time and effort as you put into your very first few shows, when you look back, you realize they're actually not that good.
Yeah, they never are. They're kind of cringeworthy a lot of the time.
I have a really good cringeworthy one. I was just speaking at WordCamp San Antonio on Saturday, and I was telling them about those first five shows. I'm like, look, the first five shows, honestly, they're just going to suck, but your 20th show is going to be pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But how do you get to your 20th show unless you get through the first five? And I said, now, to give you an example of just how bad they can be, my very first show that I ever did had the metronome on in GarageBand the whole time.
Yep. So we are oblivious to things in the beginning. Quickly stand out to you once you reach a different level of experience.
Yeah. If I can do it, you can do it too. But yeah, don't forget to turn off the metronome. I don't use GarageBand anymore, but still, you know, at the time I was like so proud of my body of work and my episode of one. Mm-hmm. And I still have it out there. I'm not hiding it anywhere. It's like, you know, it's okay. You'll get better, I promise.
Personally, I think I might use this month to not necessarily podcast every day, but I mentioned this a couple episodes ago. I want to get better at editing. So I might use this month to just take old episodes and see how I could edit them better and whatnot and just kind of learn more.
And what are you using again? You're using Adobe Audition?
Yep, I use Audition.
Have you given Hindenburg a try?
No.
I'm going to tell you that when I first looked at Hindenburg, I was like, I don't know. And they have tons of great tutorials. But when I started actually doing editing in it, mm-hmm. I was like, OMG, this is the software that I never knew that I always wanted because it's meant just for us.
Yeah.
You know, I've used GarageBand, Audacity, Adobe Audition. I've used Reaper and any number of other tools. And they're all great and they all have their things that are really cool about them. But they really were all made for musicians, if we think about it.
Yes.
It really wasn't made for us podcasters. We're just, you know, taking what's out there and modifying it for our own use. But Hindenburg Journalists actually was made for journalists to go out and record and, you know, like, you know, NPR type folks. And it really does have everything it needs. So I'm right now a huge fangirl. I was at Podcast Movement and they had a booth there and mm-hmm. I was just embarrassingly gushing about what they had done to my post-production world.
Yes.
And I think they were kind of like, you know, they stepped back a little bit. I thought, ah, Jennifer, you've gone too far.
It's okay. It's okay. That's what festivals are for, like that. To, you know, be excited. To maybe be a little too excited.
In my case, that was absolutely true.
What are you going to do this year? You're doing something involving 30 podcaster alumni?
I am, you know, I was looking at the 10-year, it actually kind of surprised me. You know, I know that every year it's not a surprise, but mm-hmm. when I looked back and thought, wait a minute, we've been doing this for 10 years already. Whoa. And I am, I'm going to, for my NAPPodPomo, I am going to interview 30 former, you know, 30 podcasters who have done it.
Yeah.
Now, whether they completed it or not, you know, just an attempt because it's a big commitment. And you know, when it gets really, really challenging is during the holidays.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, definitely.
When Thanksgiving rolls around, you know, you got family, you got stuff going on, and it gets really, really difficult. Now, I will say pretty much all of us do the shortest show ever at that time, but it is a commitment to do it. You know, that first week is the one where you're, you know, feeling the excitement of it. And then week two, you start to feel the fatigue of it. And week three, you're still feeling the fatigue, but then you realize, oh, I only have another week and a half to go. And that kind of energizes you. And then in week four, you're starting to be like, oh, this is almost over. And you go through all those emotional states. You know, they say there's like stages to different things. There's definitely an emotional and energy state that goes with NAPPodPomo. But when you get to the end, there is such a sense of accomplishment. And there's that whatever you started at where you were hesitant and not sure whether it was software, whether it was a format or a tool or, you know, anything that you did differently. By the time you get to that last show, you're so much better at it. And that's why I really encourage folks, if you've never, ever, you know, done a podcast, or if you have and you want to try something different, join this community thing of National Podcast Post Month, because it is community-based. And we've shifted over the years. You know, originally I said it was a Ning thing. And then we stopped doing Ning, and it went to I can't even remember. I think it was a meetup, and then that faded out. And then, and then now I've actually created, I thought, you know, I should have just created a Facebook group for it all that time ago. I created one this year for us to kind of keep track with that. But we do have a site, napodpomo.org, and it kind of gives you a little bit of the history and a little bit of information there, and links to go to the group. And if you're a podcast alumni, you can go and schedule a time for an interview. And it's just meant to be fun. That's really the key to it all.
I mean, no one's going to continue to do this for the entire month if they don't find it fun in some aspect.
Right. Yeah. Or you may wind up doing what we did with Tech in 20. You may wind up making that a permanent show because mm-hmm. you're having such a good time with it. And it's just a great way, like I said, to fill fast and learn a lot and have fun.
I still can't believe this has been going on for 10 years. That's so cool.
It's snuck by. There was a couple years where I was less involved. And then you know, once again, it's a community thing. Come in, jump out. Do what you need to do. But I've met people all over the place. And actually, they've come to San Antonio and visited me before. There was a guy, Irk, who was in Australia, and he came to the States. And when he was planning his tour across the United States, he made sure to stop in San Antonio so we could meet. Mm-hmm. And so that was a lot of fun. So it's been really great, that connection that we get just from doing something fun like this.
So you have that community. And mm-hmm. What do you have in terms of social media? Do you have any community aspects for that?
No, I mean, we have NatPod FOMO on Twitter, but like I said, mostly everything we did was just, you know, everything is just fast fire. Yeah. I will say, as a podcaster, lesson learned, and someone who builds a lot of community, I've you know, held camp and on conference events over the years, and I'm head of the local chapter for the Social Media Club and the Social Media Breakfast here in San Antonio, and started the San Antonio Podcast Group. So when you do a lot of those things, the challenge becomes trying to keep up with all of it. And so here's my words of wisdom to anyone who's becoming involved and wanting to build community, is to definitely think about the time, team, and tools aspect to everything that you're doing, because it will wear on you and you'll wind up not sleeping very well because you're trying to keep up with everything. So bringing in co-organizers and bringing in partners to kind of help you with that, it definitely made a difference. And that's why I stepped back on some things. But that is a big lesson learned, is that time, team, and tools, because it will take over your world, because your family's like, I haven't mm-hmm. seen you in a while. Mm-hmm. I know that podcasters know that they've got podcast widowers or podcast, you know, because we're so involved in this space, because I love it. I've been in this space since 2005, and I do live video, I've blogged, I've held events, I've done all those things, mm-hmm. and I still absolutely adore podcasting. And it's my first love. And if I had to pick only one thing to do, if they said, Jennifer, you can't tweet anymore, and you can't do video anymore, and you can't do this, I would say I'm going to stick with podcasting.
Okay, that's a pretty good answer, and you know, a pretty good indication that you should still be involved in this.
Yes.
So I see on the website that there's the tab to schedule your 10-year anniversary interview. Are you still looking for people for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Good. And we just opened that up, and so we're ready to roll. I'm slowly rolling it out to different groups within Facebook, just to make sure that we hit those folks that are alumni. If you're part of the podcasting community groups inside of Facebook, you're probably going to see this post in there.
Good.
And schedule your interview.
Yes. Yes, I know. I've been podcasting for 2 years. Do I have enough chops at this point to be an alumni?
To join NatPod FOMO? Yeah. You should totally join NatPod FOMO. And the editing thing, I think that's really cool. So what I'd like to know is if you did like a little 1 to 3 minute, you know, just something on your phone that said, here's what I'm planning to do. And you can talk about your experience throughout the whole month for NatPod FOMO, because a lot of us would love to go back and get better at different aspects of our podcast. And that would be helpful to us. You'd probably inspire and motivate us in a way that you don't even know.
Maybe I should do that. So you just gave me an idea. Every time I do one of the editing sessions or whatever, I could do a recording every day, like a short one. And then personally, I don't want to release them every day. That seems like a lot of work on top of my work.
Right, on top of the real world.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So maybe I could record them every day and then release them all at once together. Because
you could.
See, I mean, that is also a podcast. Podcasting is changing.
It is. The key is just to have 30 podcasts in 30 days. If you want to record them all on the 30th of November, you still win.
That's true. I know. I'm weaseling my way into how I want to do this.
Yeah. That'd be awesome because, you know, the more that we all learn and share and grow together, the better off we are as a community. I mean, it wouldn't be growing strong the way that it is if it wasn't for the community and the very grassroots nature of podcasting. I mean, I know we go to these conferences now and you see, you know, radio coming into the space, the terrestrial radio becoming involved. You look at NPR, you know, I have to say NPR does understand podcasting, which most of the traditional radio doesn't. I was at some sessions at Podcast Movement where I was sitting there listening to the terrestrial radio folks talk about how they're doing podcasting. And I was cringing because no. They don't get it. They want to stick a title on it and it's not actually what they say it is. But there were others that did. And so it's that mix of people who understand it and those that don't, but are going to slap a label on it and say, this is what we're doing because it's the trend. So there's a lot of that. But if podcasting didn't have such a grassroots, hardcore, dedicated community, it would have died off after that first hoorah in 2006, 2007, 2008. You know, that went through that lull where there wasn't a lot of, you know, excitement about podcasting, but everybody stayed true. And they kept doing it and kept doing it and kept sharing it. And now, of course, it's exploding and booming, which for those of us that have been involved in the space for as long as we have is absolutely wonderful. We love that. However, the challenge is that it could also turn into something that's not such a great thing. And if we look at social media as an example, I remember going to the very first year of South by Southwest Interactive. If anybody remembers, that very first year of South by Southwest Interactive was a one-day event and it was free. Mm-hmm. And then it went to, you know, and then it was like $350 and then it was $500, you know, price is now way beyond that. But it was all of us grassroots folks doing social media. And there was that one year where people in suits showed up and we were all, you know, this is a jeans and a t-shirt kind of a crowd. These are the people who were business people that mm-hmm. social media was becoming a thing. And so their corporate people said, go down there to this conference and figure this out. And they went to what they thought was a business conference because that's how you dress at a business conference. You dress professionally. But for those of us who were the, you know, grassroots and building it and making it happen, we were like looking at those folks going, get off our lawn.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that we didn't go tell them that, but that was what we were thinking. We're like, what are they doing here? This isn't a conference for them. It's a conference for us. And what I did not recognize at the time, which I recognize now, is that once the suits show up, that's when money is about to be made.
Oh, yeah, it is. They're not there without that money.
No,
involved.
No. And as a community, the social media community, you see that obviously now social is just, it's not a separate entity. It's all part of everything that happens. The challenge is that you see it kind of, you know, going to an area where you've got these Instagram pods where people are trying to game the system and advertisers are getting wise to that. And they're not building their community authentically. They're trying to game the system so they can build what's not an actual community. It's just a numbers community. And the challenge with that is that we go to Podcast Movement. And this is, of course, where we see lots of suits this year, more so than before. And this is where I, as someone who's been around a little bit, could recognize that there's serious money to potentially be made here for anyone, whether you're new to the game or whether you've been in the space for a while. It's time to pay attention. Now, the real challenge is to make sure to hopefully that it grows in the organic way that it should so that it is based around real community and not somebody trying to game the system, because that cheapens it for everyone. And that's just, did I just jump on a soapbox? What the heck just happened?
It's okay. That's what happens. That's what happens on a podcast. Especially a podcast about podcasting.
Yeah. Well, and then there was, you know, there was people who got up on stage and said, you know, don't have 7 to 10 commercials in your podcast. Please don't do that. Like, mm-hmm. Do it. Fine. Everybody needs to make money, but do it right.
Yeah. Do it in a way that you're not honest. I mean, ruining the medium.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like whenever people get annoyed. One, people just don't like change. Two, they don't want it to change in what they deem an awful way.
Right. I think we have an opportunity to kind of be the voices and train and educate others of the proper way. I mean, one of the reasons why I became involved, going back to social media, in bringing a chapter to San Antonio for Social Media Breakfast and Social Media Club, co-organizers for each one, was because of that whole learn, share, grow, and transparency piece. Yeah. Because social media could have started out being kind of snake oily, but because you had so many of the people there saying, no, let's have transparency, let's have attribution, let's do this, let's do it right. you know, then that's why it grew the way that it did. Now, granted, we're several years from that, and where people are new to the game and they're doing, like I said, they're trying to game the system. But I think there's enough of us out there that are you know, willing to toe the line on transparency and doing things right that it should balance itself out, because there's always going to be that fringe of snake oil in anything. It doesn't really matter what it is. But I think we can balance it out by just continuing to be true and authentic and to grow and cultivate the community in a really fabulous way that benefits everyone in the same way, but really where it grows the right way.
Growing the right way is, and that's going to be different for everyone, but for the, I feel like has a much broader idea for the community as a whole.
Every once in a while I am. And then there's all those other times which are, you know, recorded.
Yeah.
That's the thing about all this space, right? You tweet something, you record audio, you got a podcast out there, you do video. You're like, it's out there. It's me. What am I going
to
do?
It's hard to take that back.
Yeah, it keeps us honest is really what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be, because it's all out there, which is one of the things I really liked about being involved in all of this, is that it used to be that if someone went to work, they could behave a certain way, and at home they could behave another way, and then at church they could behave a different way, and in their community they could behave a different way, and they could have four completely different versions of themselves, mm-hmm. and none of them necessarily had to cross one another, so they could behave different ways. Nowadays, that's blurred a whole lot, because you can go to church and your pastor can ask you how the bachelor party was because he's connected to you on Facebook.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's like, ooh, yeah, small world, right? And that's not a bad thing. Going to bachelor, by the way, I'm not saying going to a bachelor party is a bad thing. It's not. But it's just that all of a sudden you realize just how intimate everyone is with what you're doing, depending on what you're sharing. And I'm okay with that, because once again, it's our decision and our choice whether to share and which audience to share it to in the way that we do it. So, you know, be smart.
Be smart. In 2017, in the world of podcasting and social media and just the internet in general, be smart is something I feel like people need to remind themselves of every single day. I really do.
Yeah, I know I have those moments where I'm like, ooh, no, why did you do that, Jennifer? But we just pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and move forward.
Mm-hmm. True. So, Napod Pomo, right?
Yes, you got it. Boy, you're really good on everything.
Thank you. So, it is from November 1st to 30th. Super easy to get involved and a great challenge for any podcaster out there, regardless of your experience or format of podcasting. So, give it a try. And there's tons of, you have an entire month, basically, to think of ideas of how you want to do this and to rile in some other podcasters that you know so that you have a team to do this. I think that actually might be a good idea for a lot of people. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do as well. So thank you for sharing. And we have one last news topic. So this actually I found in Pod to Pod, the newsletter that goes out about mm-hmm. podcasting info. And then I clicked on it because it said Podfather. So that got my attention, because the title is Podfather Reviews the Deadly Sins of Podcasting.
Okay, so let me stop you right there.
Yes,
please. I, like you, saw that title and thought, oh, the Podfather, also known as Adam Curry, mm-hmm. has written an article about the deadly sins of podcasting. Since he is the Podfather, he would totally know what those are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so then I saw it was from The Post, and I recognized that right away, because this is The Post from Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, which is where I went to school. I'm very familiar with The Post. So I immediately knew that this was not the Podfather. This was just the title, because he is not going to be involved in the school online newspaper from my college. So regardless of that, this kid, this college kid that chose a porn name, which we're going to go back to because we have to, he still brought up some good points mm-hmm. in this article. And they're all coming from, as a podcast listener, for the most part. He points out a few things, one of which is when ads don't match, treating podcasts like radio. And the last one is a microphone or headphones and the logo. And I agree with all of these things.
Yeah, when ads don't match. You know, my favorite way of hearing ads, I always go back, and I'm very much dating myself when I say this, is that I used to listen to Paul Harvey on the radio growing up, and he was a storyteller that didn't end when he was reading ads. However, most of the time you did not know he was reading an ad because it was part of the story. And by the time you figured out, oh, that's an ad, you didn't mind because it was the way that he did it. It didn't feel pushy. It didn't feel like he was forcing anything upon you. And typically it was things that he either knew about, used, or something to that effect, or recommended. And so you felt like it was a friend telling you about this product or service or whatever it was. And so I have to agree that if you're going to do ads and it's completely, you know, 180 from your audience or from your show, even though you're going to make a few bucks, you're actually hurting yourself. That will probably cost you in the long run.
Yes, I completely agree. The example that he gave in this was Crimetown from Gimlet Media, which is talking about things such as the mafia and obviously crime and violence and whatnot. And then all of a sudden they'll go into a Blue Apron ad, which talks about happy farms and chickens and meals in your kitchen. That it takes away from, you know, you get so invested in this and you get, you know, it's like when you're sitting down at a movie and you're in it, and then all of a sudden Blue Apron comes on.
So here's the way, let's dissect this. What would be the proper way for Crimetown to bring in a Blue Apron ad? Because, you know, once again, everybody needs to cover their expenses and their time. Mm-hmm. I'm not against them doing that, but it could be that even mob bosses like to eat. Yes. And it's Italian. And they were talking about chicken parmesan, which is Italian. And so I think if the host read it and did it like that, where it was telling a story, that it might fly a little bit better than just the default ad, but maybe not. Who knows?
I think it's you know, there's never going to be the perfect ad for everyone that is listening to the episode, no matter how well they do the live read, no matter how funny they make it, not everyone's going to appreciate it. But I think sometimes, I mean, he makes a point. Sometimes people just get distracted and they don't care how the ad sounds like. They just focus on the fact that it's a live read, or they just slip it in the middle and change it up. Keep me listening and tuned in mentally so that when your stupid ad is done, that I am still there.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of folks could really learn a lesson from the way Paul Harvey did it. You know, they could go back to the archives and listen to some of his shows. Mm-hmm. It's just, to me, that is the gold standard for ads, in my own opinion. I just have always appreciated that skill level, because it really is. It's not, you think, oh, that's easy. No, it's not easy. It takes work to make it so smooth that your audience doesn't know it's an ad until halfway in.
Yeah.
Halfway into your read. And by then it's no big deal. And you're halfway done. They don't have really time to form an opinion to be offended. I was just always appreciated the way that he did it, that it was just so much in line with the fact that he was a storyteller. And why should the ads be any different? It's still going to be a storytelling from, you know, the master storyteller.
Agreed. Just put more effort in. Put more effort into your podcast. That's what I feel like a lot of the time with this.
Agreed. I completely agree.
Okay. The second one, treating podcasts like radio. So you've been involved in this for 12 years now. You've seen the changes that have occurred with radio getting involved in podcasting. And that is to say, a podcast is not a quality podcast necessarily if they just take the recorded radio show and put it up online. They don't make it, if they don't change it to sound like, yes, this was recorded. We understand you're not live. We understand you don't necessarily want to hear the traffic update at the top of the hour. And you don't need to hear us say, we'll be back and after this moment. That's the last thing I want to hear.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I sat in the broadcaster to podcaster session, the morning session, and I, you know, there's the two parts of me. I'm glad they're becoming involved in the space because, they, like we talked, you said earlier, you know, they know the chops. They've got the chops. They've got that experience. But there was a panel I sat in on, and there was four people on the panel, and Sherry Lynch was the only female up there, but she was also the last one to speak. And I almost walked out after hearing a sample of the first three guys, their shows, which I thought, that sounds just like radio. And then Sherry's, they played a bit of Sherry's, the Her Money show. And all of a sudden I was like, all right, that kind of sounds like a podcast. I wound up staying in that session just to listen to her because she gets it. They keep talking about how terrestrial radio is broad and podcasting is deep, which is true. It is. It's very intimate. Leo Laporte says it's like you're whispering in your audience's ear, and you are. You know, you get the earbuds jammed in. There's not much more intimate you can get with folks. It is a very rare opportunity. You know, they talked about the people spending a wallet of time with us. And it's true. I mean, why do people listen to podcasts at 1.5 speed? Because we want to get the goods, yeah. But we don't have a lot of time. And so we need to get it in there. So we have to be respectful of that. But yeah, I hope that there's more folks like NPR and Sherry Lynch that are in the radio world that really have taken the time to understand podcasting and to transition it over in its proper way, as opposed to pretty much making the same thing, but in a new format and making it sound all, hey, everybody, you know, it's like, no, be a little bit more real with your podcast audience. That's what we want.
There's a quote in this article that says, host your show. Do not host your show like a commercial radio personality. When you do, it's unnecessary and contrived because they are two different mediums. They have two different personalities a lot of the time. You know, you don't need the happy-go-lucky DJ or the hotshot political host on the radio. You could have a much different outlook on a podcast that people appreciate and is why they go to podcast and gravitate towards that medium as opposed to typical radio.
It's so true. You know, I will say that listening to Sherry, one of the things she talked about was that she's a radio person. And she said that there was a financial services company that wanted her to read an ad. And she was like, I've never used this service. I don't know anything about money. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to read that. However, I've always wanted to learn about money. How about they sponsor a show and that client can be an actual co-host with me? And now it took off and it wound up being something that's really successful. And I thought, that is genius. I think a lot of us could do that because maybe you don't necessarily want, I'm not going to pick on Blue Apron. I think Blue Apron's fine, but another company that wants to come in, maybe you do create a podcast just to be with them to learn about something. And does it have to be forever? No, it could be short lived, but there are ways to make money and to make it pay for itself in a way that is authentic and true. And I think when Sherry created a brand new show, just so they could, you know, the sponsor could get his message out. But also she said herself, I don't really know that much about money and I'm 40 plus and I think I should know. And I bet you there's other women out there like me. So how about we do a show where we learn about money all the time? And I thought, you know, genius there. And so how can you translate that to other spaces? You can. Mm-hmm. It's all of a sudden my mind just went poof on like how many different ways this could be used and how many folks. Because one of the things I hear about now is that folks are like, well, I'd like to get involved in podcasting, but it takes a lot of time and it probably takes money and it takes this and it takes that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you it's not. It could just be you and your phone. And that's OK. Start with your mobile phone. It's your production studio in your pocket. It's ready to roll. You already own it. You don't have to buy any equipment. Just get going that way. So there's apps out there. You can get fancy pants if you want to. But if you just want to start simple, you can. But yeah, you can also, and I consider that like level one podcasting. And then you go to like level two podcasting where you're using a computer with probably a USB mic and software of some sort. And then level three in my mind is when you have a home studio like most of us podcasters mm-hmm. who've been in the space too. And you're recording in your walk-in closet because it's like the closest you're going to get to a sound booth. And so there's all different levels, but does that mean that one is better than the other? No. And I, as someone who has been here for a while, I do all three. I record on my phone. If you hang out with me any amount of time, more than likely, I'm going to take my phone out and we're going to do a podcast about whatever it is that's happening just because. And that is great. It's its own thing. It goes out on, you know, wherever I'm going to put it, you know, quick and easy. Does it have an intro? No. Does it have an outro? No. Does it have all those other things that an actual structured show does? No. But did I capture the content at the time that was of value, you know, or I thought was interesting? Yes. And did I share it? Yeah, mm-hmm. I did. Mm-hmm. You know, so don't feel the limitations of what you think you're supposed to have. Now, granted, if you want to have those things and you have the budget for them, and you want to take the time to learn, because it is going to take time to learn. Great, fantastic, fabulous. But don't think that until I have whatever, $1,000 worth of whatever, and I have a dedicated room in my house for it, I can't start. Stop yourself right there. Pick out, go look at your phone, and you're ready to roll and make it happen.
Yeah, you made me think of a lot of different things, actually, when you said that you just record when you're in the moment and then you're able to share it. You know, I hear a lot of the time on a lot of NPR structured shows, they'll take things from years ago that are relevant now and add it in. It doesn't have to be now. You could hold on to this until you feel like you have a reason to use it. You know, you could share it now and then you can reuse it later. It's all up to you of how you do this.
So, repurposing content is so fabulous. You know, there's a lot of cool tools out there now that can help you repurpose content. There's one out there called Lumen 5, and it's free. I mean, they have a paid version, but it's free. And you can go and take, I took the blog post for Napod Pomo from 2007. Mm-hmm. I took that blog post and threw it into Lumen 5, and it made a little slideshow video with music and, you know, movement and that kind of stuff to kind of take something that was old and make it fresh and new to fit today.
Yeah.
Because, you know, video is king. And that's the little video that you see pinned at the top of the Facebook group and even on the site, because that's one of the first things people ask is like, what is Napod Pomo? First of all, people have trouble saying it.
Yeah.
Not you, though. You nailed it. But most of the time they do. And then they're like, what is that? What does that even mean? And so that little short video was a way to do it. Granted, the blog post is still there. If they want to read it, it's there. But nowadays, we're such a fast video-driven society bullet point that doing that video kind of made that old blog post new. And then when it comes to audio, you know, there's all kinds of cool apps out there that you can take your audio and add slideshow videos to it and then throw it up on Facebook and point back to your podcast. So what's old is new again. And we nowadays, we've got so many tools out there. Mm-hmm. Every time I see a new tool, I've got shiny object syndrome, which I think a lot of us do. I go and play with it and I'm like, ooh, can it do this? Oh, that's cool. Or, no, that doesn't work. But it's fun to go out there. And so try new things, you know, mix it up. Because if your audience is only seeing one thing from you all the time, even though they love what you're doing, at some point they become blind to what you're doing because it's just the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. So you mix it up, you throw a slideshow video in there, you know, you do something, a video, you know, you throw different things in there so that their brain and their eyes perk up and go, oh, what's happening here? And it gets them going. And by the way, it's fun. So there's that.
Yes, it is. So you just said, don't be scared to try something new, which kind of goes into the next and the last topic from this article, which is a microphone or headphones and the logo.
And I have done this. I felt bad when I read this.
Yes, that keep it new, people. There are, if you want your episode or you want your show to stand out in Apple or Google Play or whatever directory it is that people are looking at, or even just to stick in someone's mind when they come across your show on the internet or when someone recommends it to them, I don't care. Do not put a headphone or a mic. Like, do not put the headphones, do not put the microphone and the logo. Just please don't. It's 2017. Podcasting has been around for a long time. The directories are full of microphones and headphones, and just please stop.
So now, note to self, go back to those old shows that have a microphone and a headphone and go update that stuff, because that shit is old is what it sounds like.
But basically, yes. If it's been there, that's fine. Because now we've reached a threshold of there's too much of it.
Yeah. Well, and it's easier now than ever to get that stuff done. You can go to visme.co. You can go to canva.com. You know, you don't have to have mad Photoshop skills, although it helps, in order to get a pretty darn nice looking album art. You can do it in some of these online tools that are, you know, relatively inexpensive. Some of them are free and some of them are pretty inexpensive, and it's well worth it, I think. You know, speaking of mixing things up real quick, I'm actually creating a video show for Napod Pomo, a weekly show. Ooh. And just because I wanted to kind of mix it up and add a little bit of fun to it. And so it's on Facebook. I'm doing it inside of the Napod Pomo group. It starts this week, which means that when you're hearing this next week, it will have started last week.
Yes.
And I'm kind of a little nervous about that because I've done live video at events for years, but kind of a more structured, to some extent, show where it's live. I don't know why. It's kind of like making my heart beat and go like, oh, Jennifer, you're really pushing yourself here. But I kind of like that kind of stuff because it means I'm growing. And whether I fall flat on my face and it's really terrible, well, that's okay. Lesson learned, right?
Yeah.
But I'm doing it for Napod Pomo. So leading up to Napod Pomo to talk to folks about what, you know, give them ideas and what they can do. And then during Napod Pomo to just talk about, you know, different things that are happening during the month and different people that are doing you know, shows and different stuff. So stretch yourself, folks. Have fun and just don't be afraid to fall flat on your face. Maybe not on a large stage. Maybe instead of a hard launch, maybe you do a soft launch. You know, that's just off to the side so that you can get comfortable with it until you're ready to do it for something that's really big.
Yeah, there's no rush in any of this. Go when you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm. True.
Okay, that was the last one for this Podfather review.
What do you think about that? I mean, did you think he's a young guy, but do you think he knew, or do you think it was like clickbait? Because if pop, well, that was nice. Because if the pod to pod sent it, I have to wonder, did they actually read it, or is it just an aggregation tool that's sending it out? Or, I mean, he had good information, so it's not like it was bad, but I'm just curious about the naming. I think we need to get this guy. I probably need to interview him, or you
so,
do.
So
find out.
Like, who else would come up with the name Podfather if you had not heard of that before?
Yeah, that's kind of what I think, too.
That's kind of my... That's my
clickbaity?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I was a fourth year in college not many years ago. I was an idiot. I would have done something totally dumb like this and taken a name without researching it. However, who's going to come up with that name? Like, I really... That is the thing holding me back from thinking this is innocent.
Let's see. So we'll have to find out.
We can track down this kid. Actually, I could probably track him down pretty quick.
Yeah, you've got the in over there. You've got the connections. You definitely could.
I could. Really quickly. So
I think we need to have this kid talk to Adam Curry.
We're going to give this kid credit to talk to him when there's people podcasting for how many years that would die to have a conversation with him.
Oh, he's up in Austin. He's up the road from here. It's probably not that hard to find. Austin's not a big city.
I'll be in Austin in a couple days. Maybe I'll track him down.
I think you should. I absolutely think you should. I'm sure he's hanging out. You know, it's so funny that so many stars live over there and you just think of it as a small little town. And it is. It's not a big town. But I think that's why, because it's you can kind of disappear in that small town vibe.
I'm going to try to track some of those people down that are hiding in that small town soon, though. So,
for sure.
Okay, overall, first we talked about the Work It Festival, which by the time you're listening to this is over, but still worthy of talking about. And then Nepod Pomo. Just recently, we talked about the Podfather reviews and the deadly sins of podcasting, and I think we're done.
Yeah, a little bit of soapbox mixed in there, but other than that, fabulous.
Sounds good to me. All right, everyone. Keep listening for the PowerPress tip from Sean Thorpe, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry support team with this week's PowerPress tip. At this year's Worldwide Developer Conference, Apple announced that it would be bringing new tags to iTunes that would become active with the release of iOS 11. Angelo and Mackenzie covered this on the PowerPress podcast not long after the announcement was made, and Blueberry's development team went into action right away to make sure that those tags were available to PowerPress users as soon as possible. Now that iOS 11 is officially on the street, I thought it might be a good idea to go over how you can use these new tags with your podcast. I know some of you might be going into a slight panic over this information and what it means for your show, but let's take a quick step back and relax and consider the ultimate truth about these new tags. You don't actually have to use them. That's right. Just because they're there, it doesn't mean you have to use them. If you choose to completely ignore them, your podcast will still continue to function normally as you'd expect in iTunes and everywhere else. Apple created these new tags based on feedback that they had received from podcasters who said that podcasts should be able to be displayed more dynamically than simply just the traditional descending order. To use these new tags with your PowerPress-powered podcast, you'll need to take these steps. First, go to PowerPress Advanced Mode Settings and click the Episodes tab. Towards the top of the page, you'll see two checkboxes, one for iTunes Episode Title field and another for iTunes Episode Number, Season, and Type fields. You can check one or both of these boxes, depending on which tags you'd like to use. As always, click the Save Changes button at the bottom of the page. Now, when you look at the podcast episode box within your WordPress posts, you'll see these new fields. And here's a quick rundown of what they do. iTunes episode number. This one is pretty straightforward. If you're producing episode 8 of your podcast, you'd enter in the number 8, and so on. Season. If your show is published by season, enter the appropriate season number here. If you're not publishing by season, leave this field blank. Type. This is a pull-down menu with three options: full, which is the default setting, trailer, and bonus. For most of your episodes, you'll want to leave this set to full. If you're releasing a special preview episode of either a brand new podcast or an upcoming season, mark that as a trailer. The bonus episode setting could be used with any type of podcast, but Apple created this specifically for seasonally based shows that might want to release a bonus episode in between seasons. The iTunes title field allows you to display a different title for your podcast than the one you entered as your blog post title. For example, let's say you're publishing season 1, episode 8 of your podcast, and the episode title is New iTunes Tags. In order to make sure your episode is listed logically on your website, you'll still want the main blog post title to look something like New iTunes Tags -S01E08. But for your podcast feed, you can let the new iTunes tags handle that metadata for you by setting episode number to 8, season to 1, type to full, and entering the title of new iTunes tags into the iTunes title field. Keep in mind that the new tags have not yet been adopted by any non-Apple platforms. Usage of these tags within your podcast feed will only be displayed in the iOS podcast app. It's possible that other podcasting apps and platforms will adopt these new tags over time, but none of them have made public statements saying whether or not they will do so. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, you can email me, Sean, SHAWN, @blueberry.com. Until next time, thank you for listening.